Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting edition of Thunderdome Metal Reviews. My name is Gabe Cooper. I'm here with Ben, David, and Tracy. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good. I thought you said addiction instead of addition, and I was like, that's very apt as well. We just can't quit Thunderdome, so.
It was a Freudian slip.
Why would we quit Thunderdome? All else is chaos, Tracy. Yes, I'm doing great, Gabe. Thanks for inviting me to be random with you tonight.
Like most of us, I think I am balancing hope and survival.
Everyone just looks at the ground. I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
Yeah, there's no happiness in there at all. But I am glad that everybody is on the journey this time. And
yeah, we're all here.
This grab bag is of my design. It's my fault. And you don't really get your money back, but I'm sorry. My idea was new to you. Everybody had to pick a record for this grab bag that was by a band that they'd heard of, but had never listened to before picking it for the grab bag. So that little dance around the, Mulberry Bush is courtesy of me and my moving chaos.
That is a way simpler prompt than what we got from Tracy last week. That's all I'm going to say. Those instructions were very clear, Gabe. I appreciate you.
I aim for clarity, and I aim to disrupt things.
A bunch of hardcore happened. That's what you know.
That wasn't my fault, though.
That's not my fault.
I don't think you planned it.
I mean, the checks are going to clear, but you know,
the checks are going to clear from big hardcore. Oh shit! So why did you think we needed to do that? I mean, obviously you're a disruptor, as you just highlighted, but why disrupt in this way?
Well, I mean, I think that we all have a tendency to fall into what's comfortable for us. And I'm trying to prevent that at all costs. No, I mean, I think I also wanted to challenge myself a little bit. And, you know, my pick will, you know, strike some people as a challenge. I didn't pick any of the hardcore records that showed up this week, so nobody can blame me for that.
No, Gabe picked the guys who picked the hardcore tracks. So it's basically the same, but he's untouchable.
It's just a way of a degree of separation. Like, what my fault, see?
And I also feel like I, as the person who's least beholden to brands or a brand whore, I'm sure I don't know what you mean, Gabe. As least beholden to certain brands. Anyway, fine. Yes, fine, I say. And so then I pick the thing that Tracy had already picked. And I was like, God damn it. Because, of course, Tracy picked it because it had lasers on the cover. Anyway, the point is, I did Gabe's homework faithfully and without cheating because he is the most scrupulous about reminding us that we're fucking cheaters, usually in the margin notes. You all are fucking cheaters.
I mean, I might be in big breakdowns pocket, but I am morally untouchable.
Exactly. You sleep well at night on a bed made of money. Okay, So that is the homework you gave us, and we all did it. Every one of us did a thing.
We did do a thing.
So we just, I assume, just go in the order of that we did the thing.
As I think so.
Spreadsheet. I think that means Benjamin has to take us on his Texas journey.
And that is generally how we ride this ride. So I picked a band that we had watched a music video of, but I had never heard an album by, in Kublai Khan, Texas, as they are now known, although not known as that at the time, and their debut album, Balancing Survival and Happiness.
Oof, sorry. Yep, that's the title.
An apt title. The runtime on that is a very been approved 22 minutes and 45 seconds. The band is Matt Honeycutt on vocals, Nolan Ashley on guitars and vocals, Eric English on bass and vocals, and Isaac Lamb on drums. It was released on Artery Recording, and it was produced by Ryan Harvey.
I want to ask why you chose this, Ben, like song-wise, like because you got an idea, but it's very obvious this is a Benjamin album.
Yeah, came out in 2014. I don't know the exact release date. Yeah, no, dude, that like track we listened to, I thought was fucking badass, so I really wanted to give these guys a listen.
Oh, fucking Swan and, song.
Yeah, I can't remember
what it was. It's about prostitution. Yes, that song absolutely is brutal and amazing. And yeah. This is very much in that vein, Ben. So this is a stripped down version of that because they're just getting the engine running because this is years before. But
It's like metalcore with fucking sludge lyrics. So how could I not like it?
Yeah. How could you not like it? I figure because I know you as a person, given that Biohazard helped make you a man. I understand how this would happen to a person, and I want to disagree with it, but can't. Like, I'm just, it's too powerful. Oh my God, the breakdowns are too powerful.
Dude, just going off what Swan Song, I think, was such a knuckle dragger beatdowns. So like, you could see the infancy of that idea and thought in this album, though, of just like, we know what we want to do, but it's crunchy. It's got what you're looking for into it.
Unless you like think the world is good. Anyway, but yes, it has.
Well,
I mean, there's some strong I Heart God vibes here in terms of of themes. That's what I'm going to say. Oh, but some man, when they fucking hit a hardcore groove riff, which is different than other kinds of groove riffs, fuck, like they, you know, it's so crunchy and heavy, as you said, Tracy, and just the anger is so pure. I really feel I'm going to get beat up at the show, and that's right. Like, this is not, I say this with love for what I picked. But Motionless in White is not this. I know, Ben.
It is not.
I am extremely aware that I took us to the mall and Ben took us to some fucking cage match between roosters and Jean-Claude Van Damme is there. And I mean, it's.
I mean, they're both essentially singing about life's problems. Just one's a little bit more emo about it. That's a.
Yes. No, 100%. They are mad about much of the same shit. And that should be said, that hardcore's themes will never die. Like, I mean, listen to me, man. I really need this right now. I'm simply saying that, yes, hating the system, this music cannot function in a system safe space. Like, I'm sure the Nazis would have created Nazi approved hardcore, like Nazi jazz. Nazi jazz was terrible. No. Anyway, but this also will probably beat up Motionless and White if they come into the venue. So. Interpret that how you want. Gabe, I know big hardcore doesn't pay you more than any of the rest of us. I'm going to put that on the record. But how did you feel about this Dirty Texas breakdown?
I kind of liked it. I thought that it, you know, it had very strong like Hatebreed vibes. And I was into that. The other thing that I noticed was, I mean, I also just thought I thought it was just fine, you know, but in terms of metalcore, it's still like a bit slow and like kind of, you know, chuggy for my personal taste, but whatever, like, you know, it's perfectly fine. And I was a little bit confused about the length. Like, I think that this is like a glorified EP, but apparently not. I don't know.
It's a hardcore album.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, if you're going to put something out, you got to maximize it. Like, I think
this is maximizing for a hardcore album. They're like 24 minutes. It's a double length EP.
I don't know.
Gabe is all about the deal, Tracy. Just accept it.
Well,
this is for the children of Massachusetts.
Well, the song we're talking about earlier, Swan Song, it had Scott Vogel from Terror in it. They released the album a couple years ago that was full length that came in at a whopping 16 minutes. And yep, exactly how long it needed to be. And so, like, I think for some hardcore bands, the shorter the better, and they don't fuck around, and they're just in and out and done.
I think Kubla Khan thinks they only need 22 minutes to kick your ass. And I think they're right.
Yeah, I mean, I see that, like, you could have the same amount of songs, but they could be, like, a little bit quicker, maybe. And I would be more appealing. That would be more appealing to me, whereas I feel like this is kind of a drawn out 22 minutes and they could have more to say.
I feel like Gabe is saying, I wish it were faster. And I know usually I'm the one who says that, but
I thought someone would help me out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Raise them high.
No, I don't disagree. It could be faster. And some of the tracks I like more are the ones that are slightly faster or have faster bits. You know, obviously these tempos vary some, but these people aren't fucking around though. That is for sure.
I was perfectly happy with the runtime and the tempo. I
bet you were. It's like the sweet spot.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's like, get me out in under 30 minutes and kick my ass. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. If I did a spreadsheet of Gabe album lengths, I think he's in the 40 to 50 minute range. I feel like an hour, he says it's too long.
Well, I just mean like, it's not, I mean, most LPs are like over 30 minutes long.
You're not wrong. I thought and, too.
And to like, be perfectly clear, size does not matter. But
that sounds what you're saying. No, I mean,
no, but at the same time, like if you're going to put an album out that is under 30 minutes long, it should have some substance to it. That's all. That's what I'm saying.
That's fair.
And you know, again, I might not be the target audience here. And I don't know. Like, I definitely prefer this to Motionless and White, but we'll get there when we get there.
We will. We will get there when we get there.
Yeah, I mean, I would disagree without the substance. I do think this has substance, but I would also agree that because of the genre it is and the length, it is a little bit samey. Like, Tracy often likes to say, if you like one of the songs, you're going to like them all, and we all like to say that, not just Tracy, so... But this is all like within, you know, the standard deviation for the style of music. Every track. Oh, yeah.
They're not posers, man. Are you asking them to be posers? That's what I'm hearing. Okay.
No, this is them putting their street creds up front.
And they just will like, fuck you
this
up.
This is what we got.
This is what you get. There's some good songs on here, though, man.
Yeah, I guess I should clarify. I don't mean that there's not substance. I mean, I think that. Yes, if you take into account the lyrical content and the message they're putting across in combination with the music, yes, there's enough substance, but I'm looking for more musically, I would say, just because it's a little bit slow and hardcore tends to be faster. This is metalcore. I guess it's slightly different, but yeah. And of course, like, you know, they're going by what they're seeing as like, not what, what my personal tastes are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is one of those situations with this metalcore stuff. There's a lot of this metalcore stuff I really don't like, but this one really did work for me.
Yeah, nice.
Kill switch engage.
It's very strict. Well, this is
well, that's the opposite down end of the spectrum too. I mean, yeah. And but we also listen to some kill switch where they get heavier. Like that early stuff is heavy, heavy, heavy. Yeah.
I would still bet on these guys in a, not recommending this, but in a fight, I just would.
Stop perpetuating the cycle of violence, David.
I know I am. I know the hardcore bands are fighting the metalcore bands, and it's a fucking catastrophe. Maybe
they're killing each other. Day and night.
I'm trying to divide big hardcore, right? This is my play. So
divide that mess. Well, shall we talk about some tracks?
Let's see.
Let's do it.
You know, get your drinks ready, because I didn't really like them all. Although my favorite is like the fucking direct metalist album from like Dropping Plates through Ghost Pains.
I like Dropping Plates. Blossom Crown of Books is pretty good. Box, I think it ended well. Box, it's 24 fucking minutes. Take the ride. Get in. 22 minutes. Take the ride. Drag some knuckles. Throw some punches and come out on the other side.
Oh, it does. It goes fast. Yeah, I like pretty much all these songs, but I think the opener is up is really strong. I really love the title track, Balancing Survival and Happiness, thematically, and it's got some chunky, riffy bits that are amazing. Ghost Pains is really nice. Oh, I fucking love Crown of Books. I think that may be my favorite song on here. And I think Box Beneath the Bed is a strong ender. So this is kind of, I think, on-off, sort of, in terms of which ones are bangers. But this album is... I would give this to people that needed to hurt other people. For causes, Ben. For a cause.
Yes, indeed.
Or maybe just cause. I don't know. A cause of some sort.
Just a cause.
I guess I don't have too much to add. I would shout out maybe one that hasn't been mentioned yet. Come Out of Your Room. I like that one. But I think for me, it's a similar story as David. Like, not every single one is a banger, but, you know, it's really short. You could probably just take the ride.
Surely.
All right. Well, that brings us to David's pick. The sixth studio album by another metalcore band, Motionless and White. Scoring the End of the World. It was released on June 10th, 2022 on Roadrunner. It was produced by Drew Falk and Justin DeBleek. The run time is 49 minutes and 51 seconds. If you listen to the original release, there is a deluxe version that adds Right at another 15 minutes or so, the band is Chris Motionless Cerulli, lead vocals, Ryan Satowski on lead guitar, Ricky Horror Olsen on rhythm guitar and co-lead vocals, Justin Morrow, bass backing vocals and co-lead vocals on track 10, and Vinny Morrow on drums. They did bring in a lot of guest people on this album. Brian Garris of Knocked Loose for guest vocals, Lindsay Schoolcraft for some guest vocals, Caleb Schmoe of Beartooth for some guest vocals, Mike Gordon, some guest instrumentation and vocals, Tom Hain, additional instrumentation, Alice Madden, additional vocals, Steven Sopchak, additional vocals, Jonathan McLean, additional vocals, and Ely Mitchell, additional vocals.
Yep. You said pick an album, and I did. It's Scranton, Pennsylvania, y'all.
From the mosh pit to the mall court.
More
Gordon them all.
It's more rotting industrial shit from Pennsylvania. So yes, I knew who they were because I'd heard they were sort of Manson or Alice Cooper or Kim Dracula like, but had not really heard them. And my first pick was already picked by Tracy because of who he is as a person. So I'm like, oh, how bad could this be? And so I spun a track and I was like, oh yeah, fuck. I am a whore for new metal. Which this has a ton of that going on in it.
Yes.
No, of course. They we are in a moment of its return. And I have to say, I don't know their catalog before this. I don't know how much of this is adaptation or carried directly. Because they're at album six, obviously, they probably dip back into actual new. But I don't pretend to know a lot of their discography. But I picked this and I heard it. And that one song convinced me it was an album, right? It couldn't be denied. And so now it's here. We listened to it together. Pairing it with KubaCon was hilarious. Intentional. No, fuck it. They could probably actually hang. Some of the people that were pretty chill. But yeah, it's a whole different thing. But they're mad at about a lot of the same shit. And I like industrial, Tracy. So,
oh, I know.
The bleeps and bloops, I fucking ate up in the sound. And I was like, yeah.
Definitely. This reminded me a lot. I don't know if you ever heard them, of the new metal band Twin Method.
Say that one more time. Which band?
Twin Method.
No, I don't know that.
They're a band out of Britain. I think there is one album they split up. You would fucking love them. Like, these guys reminded me of, like, a cross of that, Marilyn Manson, and, like, a touch of Killswitch Engage. And I'm like, this is exactly, this is what I'm hearing when I'm listening to it. And this feels very much a 23-year-old Tracy would have dug it. More whatever, like
for sure. Say yeah. No. If this had dropped in 2003 or whatever,
it would have been all over it.
But I'm pretty all over it now too. It is. I am not metalcore fangirl per se, and I am new to the genre by way of this podcast. But also, this is fucking. I don't know. I am unabashedly okay with this shit because I like things like Power Man 5000 and Rob Zombie's middle catalog, and you know, Ben's going through his mind of so many bands that sound like this. And I also, because I listen to Panic the Disco and Fall Out Boy, because I'm just a, you know, pop happens, that made me more empathetic to this. I would have thought these guys were posers probably at one time, but 2004, I was listening to Battle of Lamb of God was happening. This wasn't it. But now I think it's just fun and cool. And mm-hmm. ridiculous, and they are in on the joke. They absolutely know. Yes, life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art. And I'm not going to argue it's good before Gabe starts talking about blah 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 culture, blah 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 artistic merit. Yes,
I don't know if I have a real opinion about that.
What's your opinion about this?
I don't know if I have an opinion about culture either, but like
no, that's fair. any culture.
Do I have culture? But what I would say is that you look up the word annoying in a dictionary, you'll find a picture of this album. It's just just annoying. Like, it's just full of that electronic stuff, which is like, it's maybe okay on its own, but like with the kind of emo like stuff on top, it's just so insufferable. And you have like these lyrics that are trying to be clever and mostly just failing. The songs are like way too long, even at 3.5 minutes. Like for the like, it was just not what I'm looking for ever. Needs to be a little bit less annoying for me to take it seriously.
Super. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So this was a band that I had heard before, but I was not familiar with, meaning that I'd never actually listened to one of their albums. But back, I don't know which album of theirs it was on, but they had a track called America, but they like spelled it out like they were cheerleaders. And I thought that song fucking ruled. So I was pretty excited going into this. It does have a lot of those elements. It almost touches on that evil disco thing that Static X does. It doesn't quite get there, but I mean, it has elements of it. And like sonically, I also am pretty much here for most of this stuff. I don't like it as much as David does, but I'm sonically here for this. But I will have to agree with Gabe that I didn't think that a lot of the tracks were very strong. This is actually, speaking of Static X, what I was afraid when they replaced Wayne Static and when coming back, what it was going to be like. So it actually really reminded, and it also kind of reminded me, not in a good way, if you remember this review, of the last Dope album. So, you know,
that was annoying for a different reason, but it had some of the same problems.
So, you know, this was, like I said, sonically, there's some stuff here. I would like to give this band another chance. I'm not exactly sure why, mainly because that first song of theirs I heard, I guess I liked so much that I want to see if like that was just like they, I don't think I've ever said this on the podcast, but like in my private life when talking about music, I say every band has a song I like. And I'm just wondering if that was the one track of theirs that I liked that was the first one that I heard. And you know, whether I'd just be chasing that dragon listening to other stuff of theirs or not.
That's how they get you.
I'm going to definitely say those words back to you next time we're deep in some sort of Tracy Prague apocalypse. And they're like, no, Ben, I heard once that every band, F. Ulster's like twitching, wanting to shoot me down also.
Man, like think about the bands on here that I bitch about the most. Macedon has a track that I like.
Okay, there it is. A track. All right.
Yeah, a track. It's just one song.
It's one song.
If you release 37 hours of music on your three albums, then there's got to be something in there that I'm going to like.
So you just hear a song and you tell Tracy you like it, and he builds a blast around it. and you hate it. Okay, I can see that. Yeah. That makes sense. Yep. He did say, Tracy, he liked that one song. And now we've heard the theorem, right? Like, we didn't know the core principle underlying what he does.
Ben's just searching for the song he likes of that band.
Like, you get one, and then I'm done with you.
It's a really interesting proposition. I don't think I would ever make the same claim about myself. But the funny thing is, you're going to see that I did like something on this album.
Fair enough. There had to be something. There had to. Big Hardcore is not going to totally let me down today. Gabe's like, I got to catch these checks. I can't go below a D minus. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a little hesitant coming into this because I'd heard some of the earlier stuff as well. I think early 2010 stuff, somewhere around there. And I was kind of like, it fell into like that. In my mind, I'd place these guys as part of like that new, like, wave of emo, like metalcore kind of thing, that kind of like,
I mean, it basically is
that, at least for people of my generation, I felt like I was the wrong, not target audience for, like, in the sense of like not the gender for them, kind of deal is where I was like,
I think emo is for anyone that needed it, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm seeing that now in life, but then when I first heard it, I was like, and so this was kind of surprising. I was a little surprised actually by how much electronic kind of stuff they do incorporate into here. Like new metal elements, I expected a little bit more of a screamo metalcore kind of thing.
No, I wouldn't have picked it. I was in that one track, I was like, yeah, everyone's going to hate this a bit. And then I put it in there and I was right. So you're welcome, everyone. I love Gabe's description. Annoying. it's not even mad about. It's just annoying. That's fair.
That's what we need to do is pick we pick an album that we feel is punishment when we have to listen to it and begin to spread that.
That blast is coming. The vengeance blast. Yeah, indeed. Today's not that day. Today we are answering Gabe's homework.
Well, the other thing is that I can't be mad about it really because I kind of brought this on myself.
You did. I didn't know this band, and now I do. So
I'm glad you know it, but I can't say whether I'm all that much better off that I do know it.
but you can't unknow it, and that means
I can't unknow it. It's too late. I can't go back.
It's too late. I heard you say you liked a song, so obviously.
Yes.
Just remember, Gabe, when your daughter gets to 13, 14, you'll need this in the hagiography of music that she listens to so you can relay back to her.
Oh, man. I'm sure if she doesn't find something that's more annoying than this, I would be very surprised.
She will. She'll have amazing resources at her disposal.
That's true. Tracy, I have a question for you.
Okay.
What is your fetish about listening to albums that you don't like? Because you're always talking about punishment albums and like listening to stuff.
He does.
I don't know. Because I feel like there are some punishment albums out there for me that I've heard and I'm like, God damn it. Never again. Like I've heard one that I'm like, I'm never fucking touching again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've heard several of that in the 5 years we've been doing this.
Yes,
I look forward to it.
Shit, dude. F. Ulster says some people need to stay dead. Yeah. They're not going to though.
Indeed.
There's a Converge blast coming, dude. Are you ready for that? I don't want to talk about
this. I'm ready for it.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be some Converge, and then there's also going to be some Mathcore. So,
put to the paces. All right. Execute 100%.
Gabe took the gloves off this year.
Damn it. I feel like tracks maybe are a thing we should discuss.
There's a lot of them.
There are a lot. And I don't know if I had the super duper edition, some of these I would cut. I will say, I'm certainly not going to say all of them. Like the middle masterpiece, Cause of Death, meh. And some of that stuff that I think is bonus, meh. But there's some good songs. Meltdown is a song that we knew it was worth putting on here because it would be annoying to all of you and I would like it. And then Werewolf has spooky vibes. I like Porcelain's actually okay. There's some badass. I like Red, White, and Boom a lot. Hollow Points is fucking badass. That is such a me track in terms of new metal horror-y, which Hollow is Point? I just made up. Hollow Points. Oh, that song is so fucking good.
That's on the special track. I didn't listen to that one.
That song is so fucking good. Anyway, so, but yeah, when they hit their stride, they hit it hard. He is whiny, but whatever. He's no whinier than Fall Out Boy. Yeah, I thought this was fun. It was, you know, sort of slickly produced. You know me. I like bleeps and bloops. You know, it could be edited. But again, I don't even know what special edition what it is and whatever. It doesn't even matter. I understand this is a trip to the mall, but it's a scary trip to the mall. And so I enjoyed it.
Just for the record, the stuff that is on the special edition is Hollow Points and Everything After. So Hollow Points, Fool's Gills, Time Bomb, and Porcelain, Ricky Motion Picture Collection. I'll go ahead and go next. I'm already talking. You know, I wanted to like Werewolves, but then it got to the chorus and I was like, what the fuck is this? And there were elements on some of the tracks, but none of them really tied it together for me. This was,
album of the year, right?
Well, certainly
your,
wasn't
album your album of 2022.
Yeah. Yep, exactly that.
I think this album's tracks 1 through 5 are really well done. And then I think it dips until the final track of the album kind of comes back again with Scoring in the World. But I would recommend if you're just going to pull 2 tracks, listen to them, Meltdown and Porcelain.
They're bangers, man. That's what I'm saying. This is what the kids want. This is the youth of Scranton, Pennsylvania, of office fame.
So the only track you need to listen to on this album is Slaughterhouse. You can just chuck the rest.
That's how he gets paid, ladies and gentlemen. There's the one song. Bam. Slaughterhouse.
The only reason Noctuous on here is because he made the deal. So every time that track listen to, he gets a cut back on percentages.
You know what Gabe says.
It actually made me want to listen to Noctuous. You know, like I would check that out.
Someone next to her.
Well, I guess that brings us to Tracy's pick.
Yep.
Which was Eye of Horus. Noxium, their second full length. Where did this rank on your end of the year list, Tracy?
It did it, but we hadn't listened to it, so it never ranked on any list.
Okay, I was just curious.
So
independently, at runtime of 34 minutes and 6 seconds, the lineup is also, it was released on October 14th of 2023, and I'm don't know. I think it's a one man band kind of thing, but I really don't know who that one man band is, or because this is Encyclopedia Metallum does not list anybody for a lineup for this band. Let me check another spot. Oh, actually, right there it is. So it does not appear that it actually is. So I misspoke. It is Andrew James Sutherland on bass, Travis Sullivan on drums, Ted Williams on guitars, Diego Fernandez Rujillo on guitars and vocals, and Cody Kokokta on vocals.
Yeah, I didn't get one guy vibes from this because we've done a bunch of one guy things because of Tracy.
You're welcome.
All of them are Tracy.
Not all of them, but yeah. You're welcome.
All of them. Every one guy.
Well, except for the ones that were me.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah. Except for the one that literally is Gabe.
Touche. Except for what is Gabe himself personally. Yes, it is usually Tracy.
Yeah.
And I did pick Black Braids. Black Braid too. So
you did. Can I make fun of Tracy or can't I, Ben?
No, you cannot.
Don't let facts stand in the way of that. So
since when has it ever?
It doesn't.
So I picked this album because I have probably at the end of every year about 100 albums I never got to that I was like, I wanted to check out, listen to. And I do that, listen to like a track or two, like thumb through, like, this sounds cool. I'm going to add it to the list and kind of rank them. And I just never got to this album. And I chose it purely because I have Horus and Warhammer 40K. So that's why I got picked for what it did.
It's a banger, man. This is good shit.
And then it's like, and here's Tech Death. I'm like, I'm not surprised, but okay.
I don't like that genre. Remember, Tracy? I'm a complete innocent.
I'm trying to fix that for you, David.
Oh, right. Fix from yourself. Anyway, yes, this was fucking awesome.
Yeah, but I was pleasantly surprised with it. And it's a fucking banger from start to finish, I feel like. And it's quick, too. It's 30 minutes. Just boom, boom, boom. 34 minutes. So you were going to pick this one too, David?
I did look at this one because it looked cool. And fuck, this album is fucking cool. Oh, this was my favorite thing, I think, this week. I didn't expect it at all. I didn't know. It was like, Tracy, what hath you wrought? Because it could have been anything. I was expecting more wizards. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly I was being slaughtered at Verdun. I'm like, okay, this is a different vibe than I thought it was going to be. And I was fucking here for it. There's a little bit of samesiness in terms of vocals and such, but ultimately at 34 minutes, shit, dude, Ben was the editor on this one. So he was like, if you go over 35 minutes, you're done as a band. Your band dissolves. You don't even get an entry.
Yeah. To answer your question, Ben, this probably would have been somewhere between 20 and 25 after hearing it.
Yeah. It's fun. It's good.
Oh, you want me to go?
Yeah.
Everyone just backs away from Gabe.
Just the way Ben's standing back and chilling, I'm feeling the F-holster charging. That's what I feel.
The look I'm getting is alarming.
Sorry. My connection is not good, so I'm missing all the jokes. But anyway, I think this didn't strike me as super techie, but I enjoyed it for, you know, being melodic, kind of death metal, and I didn't find it super flashy or even honestly all that catchy, but it was, you know, it was interesting and it was I think consistently pretty good. One thing that struck me about it was that it kind of reminded me of the Corpse Grinder record, and maybe like a kind of a less hyperactive version of Children of Bodom. Like, and I don't know exactly where I got that, but it's sort of the melodic end of things. And it also has some hardcore bits and some like slow breakdowns that I appreciated. So that was cool. I was also very surprised that Tracy picked this. Not a typical Tracy pick.
It was not a typical Tracy pick. I would have normally assumed this was a Gabe pick, actually. Not because it's your favorite band ever, but because there's enough here that checks boxes on the form you carry with you.
So I think this is a perfectly okay. It's competently played. I do agree that with Gabe that it leans more on the melodic death metal side than on the tech death side. I didn't find the albums, the tracks were anything to write home about. They were all fairly solidly played, but none of them really hooked me. The fact that it was only 34 minutes was pretty awesome because I could get in and out of it pretty quick. You know, it's not something that like I hated going back and listening to, but it was just something that, like, you know, and I always use this. It was like that Arch Enemy album that we reviewed, JC. It was just like, oh, this is competence. You know, there's nothing bad here, but there's nothing good here either.
I guess you would accept that. Because, I mean, this album, where it does kind of suffer from sameness, like, I do agree with you guys there. But when you really enjoy that sameness, I think you're just going to have a fun time. I think that might be part of it there. And that's where I'm falling in with it. It's just, it's got this nice, crunchy, and yeah, I guess you would say it kind of does follow more along the block heavy metal, but I think it's just kind of like that shift, like a tuning heavier that I think kind of pushes it more into tech death than like Children of Bodom-ish.
I mean, how can you argue with billions of corpses joined as one? The lyrics on this fucking album. Abyssal Dominion twisted by flame. I don't know. This shit reminded me a little bit of and I'm not saying it's as good before Gabe stabs me, of old Morbid Angel.
I mean, there's no comparison whatsoever, but I think also it's just that the tech thing is throwing me off, just because, like, I think that, you know, Children and Bottom is like melodic like this is, but it's way more technical. The speediness, the like neoclassical nonsense, like
yeah, sure. This isn't that.
You know, Alexi Laho could eat like this whole band for breakfast. Like,
agreed.
Not to say that these guys can't play, but I mean, it's just not super flashy to me anyway.
Yeah, way to go, Tracy.
I know.
It's my fairy fault. Tech death.
I liked this. This was fun. This was my favorite thing.
It was cool to listen to. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, there's no way I was not going to like this. Look at me. Like, it just in terms of the shit I like. I mean, So Tracy, you have at least one vote in support.
Woo-hoo. That's more normal.
It is usually joining you on the USS 12-foot Ninja or wherever the fucking Voyage we're on. A Voyager. Anyway, yes.
A little tugboat. That's what that is.
A little tugboat to Australia. This has songs.
It does. It does. I'm just going to say Take the Ride. If you, I dog them all.
I would say the same. At 34 minutes and with songs this, perhaps not unique, but nonetheless good. Yeah, just bang this fucking thing. Yeah, whole thing.
So strings handy, gentlemen. None of them.
Shit. Oh, man. You never know if Ulster shit came to this party. Tracy, we're going to die tonight.
Luckily, I'm only drinking water and green tea, so.
Oh, that's going to make you undead? What's that going to help? How's that going to help?
Oh, I thought you were talking about as much as we're having to drink.
No, I meant Ben shooting us down in the street.
Oh,
yeah.
I love how you're like, I'm going to drink more tea. I'm like, what the fuck is that going to do?
I thought you were talking about how much you're having to drink out of your cup.
No, I can moderate that. I can't stop Ben from lever action and just cutting us down to the street. Anyway, I'm right there with you. I've already committed.
Yeah, I would join the chorus of Take the Ride. I just wanted to shout out a couple of tracks that I thought were really good. Grip by the Grave, Modern Meat Grinder is a great opener. Patriarch, amen. And Hellbound.
Yeah, that opener is badass. I was sold already. And Current Official is really good. Anyway, yes, this has tracks. And Ben did not like them. Oof.
Indeed.
Last pick.
Yeah, one of a legendary band and album makes an appearance. Thanks to Gabe. Emperor in the Nightside Eclipse, which was their first studio album, released on February 21st of 1994 on Candlelight Records. Runtime of 48 minutes and 29 seconds. The lineup is Isan, vocals, guitars, keyboards, Semath, guitars, and some lyrics. Chort on bass and Faust on drums.
How'd you say his name?
Faust?
No, the lead singer and guitarist.
Isan?
Okay. I thought for some reason I thought you said Son, and I was like, wait, what? That's...
No, it was produced by Pitten, and there we go.
Cover art. Done, period. The end. Okay, all right. This is black metal, y'all.
This is early day. This is... Beginning of the second wave, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Gabe, tell us about your journey with this album.
Well, I'd heard of this band, and I obviously, you know, picked this band because it is a very, very influential band for black metal and other extreme metal subgenres. So you know, I kind of knew that I was possibly going to be getting into something that I didn't enjoy so much, but I was kind of prepared to grit my teeth. I really ended up kind of seeing why this is a breakthrough album for the genre because of the way that they use keyboards and just like the power and the evil of the vocals. It has some really like creepy and cool moments to it, but I think it does suffer like many Black albums do from both delusions of grandeur and tracks that go on for like a really fucking long time. So I guess like, you know, I was kind of impressed where the album does work. It worked, but otherwise it's just sort of extra.
So I'm not the biggest Black metal fan. So there's going to be Black metal stands.
You don't say.
Yeah. The Buck Thorntons of the world out there are going to be like getting angry with me. But I think about this in conjunction with the first Venom album or even the second Venom album and just how this is equally as foundational to the genre and where this pushes the envelope and kind of takes it to it. I think the songwriting on this, I do agree with Gabe that it suffers from delusions of grandeur, but you can say that about power metal as well as Black metal or like several other things as well. But this really does. This is, to me, the classic Black metal sound. And the production isn't as terrible as it is on some of the other stuff that also like helped form that sound.
I want to echo that this is Black metal. In terms of the sound of it, it is, you know, as you say, Gabe, relatively genre-defining as it emerged in the mid-90s. I'm gonna say harsher things than you, Ben. I do not think it's actually scarier than what it claimed it was breaking away from in terms of death metal, right? Because this was like, you guys have become posers. And I think the vocals are really not very good. And I'm not a huge fan of the style of music, but I acknowledge it's important. And it does have some spooky, cool moments. I will concede that there's some songs in here that are pretty good. But this was not my favorite thing we've ever done, I will say. I'm not a large fan of pure Black metal. And, you know, who amongst us has not burned down churches? But I don't know, man. Those things are really old. Anyway, it's a thing that happens when you're emperor.
Yeah, that could be a whole separate conversation. All the sort of crime, the crimes and controversy, like, swirling murders. Around this band.
Murders.
Yeah, murder deaths. But I picked this also knowing that probably, you know, both of you, Ben and David, weren't going to like it, which is fine, but that wasn't why I picked it, if that's any consolation.
We know you're not Tracy, who thinks in punitive terms only. So, I believe you picked it for the art.
Entirely for the art. It was actually kind of cool coming in and listening to this and seeing early days of the second wave, because I know you guys have said something like this one has more, obviously better production values than what you see a lot of like stuff coming after it does. I'm like, because that shit's a choice, because it was who these guys are typically linked to, Mayhem, their counterparts in the Origin scene, were the ones like, you need to sound as shitty as possible. It's kind of like where part of that thing came from, but it's very interesting hearing this album. I could not, it was very hard to kind of separate, because when we talk about like the first one with Black metal, we talk about Merciful Fate and King Diamond previously, especially after did the King Diamond blast, and like you could see obviously where those like Bathory, King Diamond, and Venom influenced these guys, kind of like how that kind of became the amalgamation of it did that it did for this. It's very interesting. And then the fucking Gypsy, the Merciful Cakeover at the end of this album, just kind of topping it off, was just like a cherry on top for me. Because then they actually do the fucking King Diamond vocals, and it's like hilarious. But Esau can actually hit those sometimes, so I mean, it's even better.
I think that's, you know, you're talking about the two covers that appear at the end of the 1999 remaster, which is what I listened to, not realizing it at first. But I thought that those covers did a lot, you know, for the album. Just makes it kind of slap harder.
I will agree with you there. And I also think they do a good job of kind of like bridging the gap of like what influenced them into what their sound became. Like, I think it's kind of like the final piece in the puzzle, kind of like where it all kind of come together.
I think listened to the good old fashioned release with 10 tracks. I'm seeing so many versions of this fucking album. What is happening? I looked it up as it was at the time and listened to it that way. You
know what I'm saying? Oh, I did. just whatever Spotify had.
Yeah, Spotify just has this remastered version, I think.
A Fine Day to Die and Gypsy were the two covers, right?
Yeah.
I heard those songs. Fine Day to Die is a good song on here and in general. There's some okay shit in here, I have to say. I warmed up to it. At first, I was like, knowing it was historically important, I was that dick in the museum. But it does get actually spooky. And after you spun it like three times, you're like, okay, fine, you're scary. And some of the later tracks, I think, are pretty good. I think some ends pretty strong. I'm still not going to give it to people, but yes, it is a thing that I know.
Yes, I think it's time for tracks.
Okay, so I would pull off Burning Shadows, Cosmic Keys, Majesty of the Night Sky, I Am Black Wizards, Ino Asatana, and, you know, if you listen to the remastered version, the both of those covers. So that best run is track 6 to 10. I think that first track is just a mistake. It's just a terrible, terrible mistake. Like, there's nothing going on whatsoever to draw you in. It's just like stupidly long and pretentious.
The instrumental or Into the Infinity of Thought?
Into the Infinity of Thought. What were you thinking about? Because like on Spotify, it's one 9-minute track.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I agree with you. Just wanted to clarify because, like, you know. We have a troubled relationship with instrumentals here at Thunderdome Metal Reviews, especially opening instrumentals. And I didn't think that this one added a whole hell of a lot of anything other than like...
huge decks to opening instrumentals. Like none other of than, us are huge fans. Like that.
Yeah, other than like setting the stage that now every black metal album from here until the end of time has to have an instrumental opening.
God damn it.
You know,
I mean, there's a right way to do it, but it's not with a 9-minute song. Like, come on. I mean, the other thing is, like, one thing that I appreciated about this album, there were some parts where the simplicity kind of offended me, but there were some parts where it was absolutely okay and it worked. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of like what we think about black metal, like in terms of compositions.
There are moments of brilliance and some spooky shit interspersed with other things that are less spooky and, as you say, fairly simple. But, I mean, a genre has to start somewhere. And I can see how this would seem scary if the building behind you were on fire.
So you're saying it's a context thing?
I mean, I think it's, you know, I'm mega context on every one of these fucking bands we talk about. Yes. I mean, my God, the scene. Jesus Christ, ma'am. I'm wearing the bones of my enemy on stage and the police tackle me. What the fuck? Yes, this scene. Yes, Gabe, I do think the context of the scene is important because it was mayhem and insane and resulted in jail time. And like
no pun intended.
Murder trials.
Mayhem.
Yeah. I mean, I stand by what I said. My friend's dead. Could be the cover of our next album? Question mark. Anyway. Questionable choices, maybe, but Norway in the early to mid-90s was trimming.
This is probably going to be a controversial statement, and then I'll tell you what tracks, which I basically agree with Gabe on. But I like Isan's solo stuff better than Emperor.
Isan's solo stuff is pretty baller. So, I mean,
yeah,
you're not really, I don't think anybody here is going to be offended by what you said.
No, I don't think so either. But yeah, I don't really have anything. The Burning Shadows of Silence, Cosmic Keys. Majesty of the Night Sky, you know, Satana. Those are the ones.
I think the Burning Shadows of Silence, Cosmic Keys to My Creations and Times. I actually enjoy I Am the Black Wizards. That's pretty fun for me.
Of course, it's good.
The previously mentioned Gypsy cover.
I thought this started stupid and it made me mad and I didn't like it for a while. But by the middle of the album, it was okay again. And I think the run from Majesty of the Sky is, I think Gabe said exactly that run to essentially the end is wonderful. I Am the Black Wizards annoyed me as a title, but it's a good song and it's some really cool bits in the middle of it. And Fine Day to Die is a very good cover. So yes, this album's fine, sure. But again, guys, just that opener is really difficult for me emotionally.
It's just the Ida Cane Powder gets you through the first part of it.
No, they could have just put a good song. You can put a good song first, Gracie.
They should have started with I Am Black, the Black Wizards, and just put Squizgar talking over it.
Amazing. Solution found.
Indeed. Well, Naya, the time has come on Sprockets where we dance. Or
yeah.
Time to pay the bills, right?
Yes, the paying that is happening. We pay a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's why people come here. That's what keeps the lights on. Not our witty banter and conversations.
It's the cold hard cash paid by Big Hardcore. All right, what are we going to do?
It is.
KubaCon.
Balancing survival and happiness. Ben, your poison.
Like this quite a bit. B+. It's not perfect, but damn, do I like it.
I like it nearly as much as Ben because of who I am as a person. So I'm going to give a high B, 86. It's a banger. This is just, but I know they can do better because I heard later shit, which gets up into B+, A- territory. So 86.
I'm exactly where David is. I'm going to give this an 86, a B.
Highest B possible.
I'm going to be right there, Ben. I really enjoyed this album. It was a good fashion knuckle dragger from start to finish, in my opinion. I'm going to give it an 88 as well. That gives us an average of 87, if my math is right on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'd all buy this one.
Hey,
yeah.
This
sure.
thing?
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Started the collection.
This? Yeah, yeah. I would hurt. Yes, I told you I would give this to people that needed it.
David, Motionless in White, scoring the end of the world.
Oh my God, I'm such a poor. I'm going to give this a B+. Shut up. I'm going to give this an 87. Let's not make this an 88. It's silly. I'm going to give this an 87. Knowing that it's absurd, knowing every grade coming after this is lower.
I'm going to come in with a B-, an 81. Okay. This was, I'll give it 82. This was actually better than I was expecting to, knowing what I knew of the band coming into it. I was expecting a little more emo core to go along with it, but I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised. So.
Hell yeah.
There's nothing I actively disliked on this album, but there's nothing like I needed to get back to outside of a couple tracks.
Yeah. What am I going to grade this? C-. I mean, it's fine. It just.
C-, it's fine. That's what it
yeah,
says.
It's just, yeah, yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
It didn't. It.
That's, I'll take it. It got to live. He just like shot it in the leg and walked off.
Shot in knees and like, do better.
Do
this
better
is your warning.
This is your one warning. Anyway, yes, that sounds like a thing you would give
this. I liked one track on this. This is getting a D.
I don't know why I feel invested in this. I just found this band.
You're just trying to protect those kids, that's all.
I feel like I have to protect the youth. Anyway, yes, indeed.
Because this is an average of 76.
Hell yes. C's get degrees.
It does. Would anybody besides David buy this based off
of this? I would buy this.
Also, we know David's stocking stuffer for the year is going to be just...
David says, Dave destroys other people's copies.
Absolutely. Absolutely not.
Hard pass.
Oh, me. All right. My choice, Eye of Horus, Noxium. As I told Ben, this probably ended up somewhere in the 20 to 25s on my list for the year. So I'm going to put this right out there at an A- minus out of 90.
Ooh.
You go, Gabe. You go so hard before I just beat Tracy again.
Oh, you're going to beat Tracy?
I'm going to beat Tracy so hard I give this a 90. This was fun because this was fun as fuck. And Tracy sometimes is right. And this is a 90. Sorry. All right, I'm backing away.
No biggie. I'm going to give this a B+, an 88. I think this is pretty good. Not my favorite melodic death metal out there, but not bad at all.
C+.
C+.
My God, the mercy he's showing tonight. Just a shoulder shot and he walks on.
Nah, there's like I said, I try only to give D's or F's stuff that like I actively dislike, and neither the Motionless and White or this that I actively dislike. So I just don't think they're great albums. But I also am not like the biggest melodic death fan. And, you know, new metal, especially that weird, kooky, industrial lace new metal. Some of it I would like a whole lot. Some of it, not so much.
I think you like the classics because you were there. I think Imitators, they don't seem to sell you. I've seen you're like, do I need more of this? Like, I already have Rob Zombie. I feel it's difficult to sell you on new versions of that.
Probably. Just old and cantankerous that way.
Well, you just, it's not nostalgia powered. Like, without the power of nostalgia, is new metal objectively good? That is hard to argue. Ben's anyway, like,
Ben's like, why do I need that when I still get these old classics here? It's good enough.
He's going to listen to some
other. Remember when your back didn't hurt?
Barely.
And Gabe would tell us that no, new metal is not worth listening to. So it's like,
Gabe was inoculated. He had the new metal vaccine, I guess.
apparently. And I'm not sure if I would say that either, because like I've heard more stuff since. Yeah, I was in it for the Nookie.
That's the mix.
Yeah. No, I mean, but anyway, it's a bit silly to talk about it in such a broad way. But I believe Ben when he's saying that he's just, you know, not too he's not beholden to it. So
yeah.
Big new metal. Who pays probably less well than Big Hard for it.
So. Matter of fact, they demand money from me.
Yeah, they do.
So, like, if you want us to go, you gotta pay us $20.
So they're the record industry. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Just cut you right in the face.
You don't get so whipped by Eddie Van Halen for nothing.
Right. Yeah, damn right.
That's a badge of honor right there.
Yeah.
Noxium comes in with the average of 87. So it's not going to med school, it's going to dental school.
I'm gonna buy it though.
I would buy two.
Yeah, this me too.
Good. This is good. Ben Stein.
Emperor in the Night Side Eclipse. Gabe.
All right. I'm not gonna really bump this up any from where it really should be. Or maybe you could argue that I'm already bumping it up, but I think that I'm gonna give this a solid B in 84, because like in terms of historical importance, you can't deny it. But I also don't think that the whole album is really worth my time necessarily. It's like there's a good chunk of it that I like. And that includes like the covers if you were listening to a certain version of it. So yeah, it's not bad, but it's also just like not necessarily my thing. I don't go in for all the pageantry necessarily. And I think this is a lot of pageantry. There is some innovation here, which I give them credit for.
I think the pageantry isn't scary enough. But anyway, be that as it may, I want to give this a C+, knowing that's where the cowards go when they want to say it's for hardcore fans only. But I admit it's important, so I'm going to give it a B-.
I knew it.
Oh, did you know I was going to do that? I'm such a horse.
No, fan. I knew you were going to give it some historical importance bump.
I work that way, man. I can't deny. I don't get my taste doesn't get to end a fucking branch of metal. Is what I feel like. So it, yeah.
Well, my taste would, but yeah.
You know. Anyway, so yes, I am what I am, Gabe. Anyway, it is an 81. So,
David, I don't think you have to worry about your taste ruining this brand, because I think me and Gabe like it enough for what it is that it's not gonna like just be shot into the mediocrity from the Thunder Dome's viewpoints. Because I'm gonna come in right there with Gabe, give it a B as well at 84, just that it's just solid enough where it is, and I enjoyed most of it, but I do think that you can definitely tell what it is, but or what they're achieving, kind of like its significance. But I mean, I think there are obviously better examples of black metal out there.
So if I was just grading out on how much I liked the album, I would give this a C+. But like David, I'm going to give this the legacy bump. And normally, for me, the legacy bump is usually about a half grade, but this is like so defining for this genre that I'm going to have to give it a little bit more than that. So I guess I'm going to bump this to a B+.
I cannot disagree with the modus operandi, as Gabe has called me out on. Yes. I mean, the Black Album by Metallica, you think objectively I feel it's that good? No, we're gonna
talk about this. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't. I mean, if you look back at the grades for the Metallica albums, you would think I think that's their best album, and I don't. It's just their most important.
Yes, same. I couldn't deny it. Fucking Bob Rock. Anyway.
That gives us an average of 84.
Would you buy it?
No.
I would.
I can't believe Ben like gives it the highest grade and then he's not gonna buy it. That's hilarious.
I love it.
Not even with the collection of perspective of it.
No, dude, I just don't care that much for black metal. I mean, there's black metal that I like and would own, but this isn't it.
This ain't it. Dimmu Borgir, we did. I really dug that album.
Yeah, me too.
I did that greater that I miss.
And we don't get there without this.
No, it's like this is the key piece to making that happen.
I don't deny it. And that's why I gave it a B minus. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I still don't understand if you think it's historically important why you wouldn't want to buy it. But that's just maybe.
I want it to be someone else's history game.
You want to put it in someone else's.
Because I'm not running a museum. My record collection.
Exactly that.
If I was a curator for a metal museum, yes, I would have it.
It would be on.
Yeah.
That job, Ben and I have in a better dimension than this.
So we did it.
We did it, guys. That's it.
Well, I'm proud of everybody. I'm proud of everybody for
me too.
Taking a leap into the unknown, into the abyss.
Yeah, it was a really interesting Sonic week. I mean, there's a little bit of, until like the Emperor Realm, there was a little bit of threat of metalcore through everything, but it was certainly not the most diverse blast we've ever had, but also just probably the least well-known one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I know. Who are any of these people? Anyway, it was pretty funny. And, and Gabe's Marshall notes helped us stay on track. So.
I also think that might be probably our closest like grouping in terms of grades from every album, because it's kind of like the unknown quantity is just how we're all kind of very similar about our grades, and there wasn't a lot of divergence, and we all there was no Dean coming in to correct some skulls on grade inflation.
Oh, but it was a
wait. There was a D, dude, and a C minus. There was a D. And what are you talking? What are you? Where were you, Tracy?
Tracy's just putting in the grades he wanted to give it.
Ben shot her in the fucking leg or arm.
I just felt. Well, let's see. Look at the average. So. He's right.
He's right that the grades are close, but I would also say that there I was meaning
Thunderdome average, like all four albums, like Thunderdome average kind of together. Like,
there wasn't, I see what you're saying. I thought you were looking at individual grades.
Because always feel like there's like one or like an outlier that's out there. It's like, this is a 60. Just kind of like.
We've never had one that low. I'm too. The craft. I don't know. I've never given it an F.
That would also imply that more of us would have to agree that it was terrible.
Precisely. And usually somebody picked it for a reason. So I don't. So there's some method to the madness usually.
Oh yeah.
Usually, at least the person that like picked it doesn't give it. I mean, right? Anyway, that would be amazing. I could see Ben doing. Just to prove his point. He's like, this is my pick for the week.
And I actually hate it.
He shoots in front of us. We're like, oh shit.
Well, I did do that one time.
It's that old KGB training where you kill they have you raise a dog and you kill it just to show that you have no attachment. Just like,
Tracy, a dog. That is what
I don't know.
Training involves.
I don't know what I gave the Apocalyptian Rider, but I know it wasn't a great album.
Yeah, indeed. That was not a great album for us. Yeah.
It was not. Our next grab bag is going to be courtesy of Ben. And he gave us the fairly strict rules of no rules, just right.
Yeah, man, just pick something you want to listen to.
I like that category.
I wonder if he's going to regret that with my pick that's in there right now. Might change, but at the moment it's penciled in.
Nothing makes him regret it anymore, Tracy. Merciless killer. Like, I mean, if he doesn't approve, it'll end. Yeah,
it's what you want to listen to. I will listen to it. If I don't like it, then I don't like it.
Well, everyone, I think it's time to sign off here and continue our journey into the sunset. Thanks for tuning in here. Thunderdome Metal Reviews. Bacaw.
Bacaw.
Bacaw.